Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, welcome to the Horse Hour podcast. Today we're talking supplements and pharmaceuticals with the president of Omega Alpha Equine. Based over in Canada, it's Dr. Gordon Chang, and we're going back to the roots of supplements, to the science. What really do supplements do? Supplements are a complete mind-boggling world that we get pushed into when we have horses, equally for us humans as well. We hear of people having supplements all the time. So which supplements are right for your horse? Why should we ignore the marketing jargon and go back to the scientists? Dr. Chang will be able to give us some advice. This is Horse Hour.
Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Dr. I don't know what to call you. I don't know whether to call you Dr. Gordon or Dr. Chang.
No, just Gordon is fine, thank you.
Well, I've been so excited about speaking to you.
Well, no, it's my pleasure to be on your show.
Well, I think what we're going to do is explain about supplements. I am a complete super fan. I think the main thing really is that we are inundated with supplement ranges and marketing rubbish. And I want to cut through really and say, look, you know, behind all the marketing, there are a few key products out there that actually really do work. And this is one of those ranges that do work.
Okay. Basically, background in a nutshell. I graduated from the University of Toronto in 1989, started Omega Alpha in 1992, and basically we started off selling human product, right?
Wow.
And at that time in Canada, what was happening was that, you know, it was completely unregulated, right? And what was, I started off the company with the idea of manufacturing OTC pharmaceuticals. With a PhD under my belt, I figured, okay, that's something we can do, right? Mm. And, you know, private label, etc. And then basically what happened then was I said, okay, being a novice and a newbie, I came out with it, knew nobody in the pharmaceutical realm, so got a few contracts, few and far between. And as I say to everybody, I like to eat. Okay. And unfortunately, those few contracts, few and far between, was not enough for us to make a go of it. So I basically fell into the natural products realm, because one of the interesting things is because at that time, the natural products realm was unregulated. But we had the science because of a PhD, you know, we approached a lot of these things from a scientific point of view. And cutting through the chase, we basically started doing the human stuff. And about 5, 6, 7 years into it, we fellow walked through my doors and says, Gordon, will this stuff work on horses? And I said, sure. The key here for horses is to make sure you have a high enough dose to see an effect, right? Mm. Basic pharmacology. Mm. And that's what we basically started doing, right? And then, you know, the nice thing is we've been at this now for the horse world in Canada probably for about close to 20 years.
Wow.
And I say to anybody, the nice thing about doing this for 20 years, we are probably the biggest supplier of equine supplements in Canada. Now, that sounds great, except that the Canadian market, you know, is small compared to the UK market for these things, right? But the nice thing is, horse people love to talk. So if you go on blog sites, etc., you know, and because we've been doing it close to 20 years, you will have a lot of unbiased, unbiased stories about whether the products work or they don't work, as the case may be. And I think invariably we are you know, most people say that they get a very good results with what we produce.
Well, I'm one of those people. I mean, excuse me for being so, I feel so ignorant, Gordon, because I'm relatively late into the industry, and obviously I'm based in the UK. So for us over here, it's quite new. We're lucky because we've had a load of Canadian riders come over going, hey, you know, these are the supplement ranges that I'm using. Selena O'Hanlon, she uses Omega Alpha. And so I thought, you know, I'm hearing quite a lot. I like to have try new things that aren't really known. And for 20 years, you've been so popular in Canada, but you're relatively new in the UK. So I thought I'm going to give you a go. So I was introduced to you and to your range, and I tried Healthy Horse. And I am not a sucker for marketing, okay? I really hate the fact that there are so many products out there, Gordon, that are, you know, just thrown, let's just stick a supplement thing on the front of it and let's call it a supplement. It's going to help, and actually, you know, 9 times out of 10 it's, you know, a little bit of a herbal remedy. And I just loved Healthy Horse. I tried it for my yearling and it had liver flush and gut flush, and you've now got me hooked so much on supplements that I'm thinking, what can I eat myself? So it's gone the other way around, and you know, I'd never thought about having supplements for my dog before. And you've got a, you know, you've got a great supplement range for pets as well, which I'm interested in looking into. But I guess the reason that I asked for you to join us, and I'm so grateful that you have the time to speak to us, is why is it so different? I've heard lots of theories about different supplement ranges and what makes them special, but this one to me just. You know, the proof's in the pudding. And like you said, people do talk. And if they are shouting about it and saying, you know, this actually is working, within a week, I could see a difference in my horse, which really, as I'm not a scientist, I was very pleasantly surprised. Now, somebody mentioned to me, it's because your products are liquid. Is that it, or is it the composition?
Well, partially is a composition, but a lot of it is a liquid. I mean, in all fairness to everybody, as I say to them, we did not invent the use of herbals for horses. There's tons of companies doing that. Even in England, I know that there are tons of people who give herbs to their horses. Mm. All right. What the problem with those folks who do it is all they do is they take the herbs, they grind it up into a fine powder, and they say, horses are herbivores, so they'll be able to extract the active ingredients fast, etc., and they'll get the effects of it. Well, the biggest problem with doing it that way is that, first of all, horses, like people, they have taste buds. Some herbs they love, some herbs they can't stand. And a lot of times medicinal herbs are probably herbs they don't like to taste too much, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, so you have a bigger problem getting them to eat it. Now, in order to make it taste good, you got to add stuff in there to flavor it, just for flavoring. Well, if you're selling things by the pound, or in the case, by the kilogram, for every little thing you add to make it taste good, if you add an ounce of, say, fennel to make it taste good, you got to take an ounce of active ingredient out, right? So you're getting first of all, you're getting a low dose. Secondly, more importantly, is the digestive process. The digestive process is slow, right? So, and it doesn't happen all at once. So if you take a mouthful of herb, right, by the time you get the actives out, you're looking at 3 or 4 hours, and you're getting it out in drips and drabs. You don't get it out in a bolus, right? So because of that, people don't see the results. The analogy I'll use is, if you drink a cup of coffee in the morning, right, and we brewed a cup of coffee, you drink a cup of coffee, within about 10 minutes, you get the caffeine hit, because all that caffeine is sitting in one cup of coffee, and you drink it, your body absorbs the caffeine very quickly.
Yes.
Now, think of it, if I gave you the coffee as in coffee grounds, I say, here, digest this, right? Well, you know the digestive process is slow. So as it goes down the GI tract, and if you know about the digestive process, from the top of the GI tract all the way down to the bottom of the GI tract can take hours, okay? And if you're continually digesting over that time, you're getting the caffeine out in drips and drabs, drips and drabs. Well, you can go the whole day without even getting the caffeine kick, right? And one of the things we are able to do is we concentrate up the actives too. So if you think of it like an espresso, right? We can make we can take a big bunch of coffee, right? And concentrate it down to a small cup. right? So you get all that caffeine in that small cup. Mm. Right. So this is the caffeine analogy. Right. So we do the same thing with some of the with the herbal formulas that we use. Right.
Oh, it makes so much sense. So you're making me feel like I'm drinking too much caffeine now. I need to be starting to be having it in powder form. Maybe I won't be so wired all the time. So no. And then I guess it's the composition. So once you've got the amount that you need.
And it's it's also the formula of the herbs that we use also. Right. Anyway, so that's a little bit of the gist of it, of what we do. And as I said, we've been doing this now for a while. And as I said, the nice thing is after a while, people talk. Mm. Right. And word of mouth gets out. A friend of mine used to say, you know, word of mouth is great, except that you'll probably starve before word of mouth actually takes effect. So that's why, whether you like it or not, you got to put some money into marketing, get it out there, get people to know about it, and then word of mouth takes over.
So can you explain to me a little bit more about the herbal side of it? I mean, how much is based on herbs, and how much is it based? Because your strapline really is it's supplements through science, effective supplements through science. So where does it change from being a herbal organic remedy to a scientific based pharmaceutical range?
Okay, let me explain. One of the things that, if you look at most of the herbal products out there, they're not based on a lot of scientific study. We use a lot of Chinese herbs in our products, and we use a lot of Ayurvedic herbs in our products too. And the reason we do that is because there is a lot of information in the scientific literature on these herbs, how they act, what they do, what actives they have. And what actives they have is very important also. Because if you don't know what the actives are in there, okay, you might inadvertently give somebody a herb which will trigger a positive drug test in the competition world. And that's a kiss to death. You do not want that ever, ever, ever to happen. Okay? So that's why we do this. And so before we put anything together, we look at the scientific literature. We look at what the herbs do. For example, if I am looking for something that has an anti-inflammatory effect, okay, we have to choose the herbs that we know that will have an anti-inflammatory effect. And so there's a lot of literature on the herbs that we use. So we get the information, we look at it, etc., and we determine what is an active dose, how much it is we actually need to use, etc., to get an effect. Now, one of the things that we're also cognizant of is the fact that year to year, some of these herbs, the amount of active varies from herb to herb, from where it's grown, the whether it was sunny that year or whether it had lots of rain, the concentration of the active changes.
Really?
And as an example, I'll use apples. Okay, I know my kids, when they were growing up, we lived on apple juice. There were sometimes you buy the apple juice and it's light yellow and sour, and sometimes you buy the apple juice, it was dark yellow and very sweet. Right. And that just is because the apples that they got, you know, it might be the same type of apples, but the apples that they got, the sugar concentration was different because that year it was probably a nice sunny year. So the sugar had a chance to concentrate up. So you had a higher sugar content. Right. It's the same thing with herbs and any of the actives. Right. And also what we also realized, a lot of animals, they're like people. Everybody's biochemistry is different. How many times have you heard of people saying, you know what, I have a headache, but if I use ibuprofen, right, it does not work for me. Whereas if I use acetaminophen, it works like a charm, and vice versa, right? So it's the same thing with animals. They're, for whatever reason, certain pathways seem not to work on certain animals, etc. So what we did, we started to use formulated herbal products. And the reason we use the formulated ones is because the herbs that we would choose, for example, if I want something as an anti-inflammatory effect, okay, there are many pathways to anti-inflammatory effect. So what we did was we picked herbs which worked on different pathways and put it together. So the idea was that, one, if one animal, it didn't work for whatever reason, the biochemical pathway was different. It didn't react with that biochemical pathway. There were other herbs in there which will affect that biochemical, the other biochemical pathways, which will then create the net effect, which is anti-inflammatory, what we're looking for, yeah. Right? Mm. And so we know from year to year, batch to batch, the product will have a desired effect, right? As opposed to if we use one single herb only, right? Sometimes that one single herb will not work for that one animal, right? So that's one. Secondly, we use formulated products too, because sometimes if, for example, I have an animal that may have a, that doesn't agree, one herb doesn't agree with the animal, right? It's like anything else. It all boils down to dosage. So if I give that animal too much of that one particular herb, they may get a reaction. Mm. Whereas if I have it in a formulated product, the amount of that one active is going to be a lot less. So they're not going to have a reaction.
And so you don't want them to have a, you do? I'm a little bit confused now. Do you want them to have a reaction or you don't?
Side effects.
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about. Side effects is what I'm talking about, right? Mm. So that's the idea with it. So when we use a formulated product, it doesn't happen. One of the things I have to address with herbal products too, safety. Herbal products are very, very, very safe. And I'll use the herbal products that are commonly sold and commonly used are very, very, very safe. Anything that is poisonous, noxious, toxic, nobody in their right mind would sell anything like that in the regular marketplace. Those type of products are probably only going to be used by trained professionals, right? And since we are not our product line is not really meant for trained professionals. We stay away from anything that's potentially toxic.
But equally, right? You're not allowed to either. I mean, there are so many rules and regulations, you know, you're not allowed to have, check there's no prohibited substances in there. It's very, very highly regulated. And equally, it's differently regulated for each country. So before you're even allowed to sell in the UK, for example, or Canada, you know, there are tests and certificates and all these things that you need to know. So you need they need to be approved. So we know that by the time it's on the shelf, it's been tested so many times. We know it's going to be safe. It's got to be.
Yeah. But even after having said that, it's been tested, it's usually tested for safety, but it's not tested for, say, like, for example, some people, if you wanted, you can get herbal products that have caffeine in it, right? They're not necessarily using coffee beans. There are other herbs that do have significant amount of caffeine in it. Right. So if you don't know what you're doing, you can end up buying something with caffeine. Now,
but caffeine's really bad for horses, isn't it?
Well, under normal circumstances, if you are a regular, as Nikki would say, a happy hacker, right? It's not an issue. The biggest problem with caffeine is if you are in the FEI circuit, right, and you get a positive caffeine test, it's a kiss of death, right? And so one of the things that we did was we made sure that whatever we had in there, right, was well within the FEI rules, right? Now, the certification, et cetera, on the, to get it on the shelf does not address those things.
Wow.
Right? So, you know, but one of the things, in Canada, we are very regulated. We have something called the NN process, which is the natural number process. I believe that's what the NN stands for. And on the human side, we have to be site licensed and our facilities have to be GMP. So all of our products are made in our facilities, right? Everything we sell, we are the manufacturers. Right.
Yeah, but great, and also in your own labs, which I love that fact, and it does give me a sense of security knowing that you make it for humans as well, and that you're a doctor. You know, you are actually a doctor. So I'm thinking, you know, if someone's going to be telling me what's good for my horse, it's someone that understands, really, really understands the human and the horse. But from understanding the chemical element of the body and the horse's body and how things interact, how did you get from doing that to actually creating products and using these herbs? Was that your own heritage?
No. First of all, the basic physiology of all mammals are the same. Okay, the digestive process is the same, basically meaning that if we eat something, all right, you have to break it down into the carbohydrates have to break it down, broken down into simple sugars mm-hmm. before they can be absorbed. Right, all mammals work that way. Basically, all animals work that way. Your basic biochemistry is the same, meaning the way your vitamins will work, etc., on the body is all the same. What the difference is that, for example, horses can generate their own vitamin C.
Wow.
Men cannot.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Right, and the reason horses can generate their own vitamin C, some of it comes from the type of bacteria they have in their gut, right? Some of it comes from their own innate biochemical processes. They can make enough. They can make, I should say, not necessarily enough, but they can make enough vitamin C for them to survive, right? If you have a horse that's under competition, they may be using up their vitamin C stores faster than they can generate it. So in a case like that, you have to get some of the vitamin C from the outside, meaning from the diet, right? Now, getting back to the manufacturing process, all the herbs that we use are the same herbs that we use for horses, for animals. By animals, I mean dogs and cats, and for people. We all buy, so everybody's using, we're using human-grade herbs for every animal. Okay, for every part of our business. So what that means is that the general buying public can take the horse product and use it for themselves, the dog product and use it for themselves. Not that I would advocate that, and the reason I won't advocate that is because the horse product, because the horse is a much bigger animal, we have to get a higher concentration for horses, right? So we concentrate that up more. Right, so it's a lot more concentrated for the horses than we would have for people, and for dogs and cats is a lot lower. But after having said that, if somebody was to take a swig of the horse product, they're not going to pass out and drop dead or even end up with major problems, just because the safety margins are huge.
If a little squirt goes into your sandwich by accident, it's not the end of the world. We don't need to panic.
Not the end of the world. Or if you gave your, if the bottle says one tablespoon for your horse and the horse loved it so much he got into the bottle and drank all of it. Nothing's going to happen. The worst that will probably happen in a case like that is that the horse might get diarrhea. Wow. And I stress the word might. As an example, I use, we had a fellow that worked with us that he whenever he went to give a talk, he was a very nervous speaker. So what he would do was that before it was his turn to speak, he would start sipping on the equine chill. Now, this gentleman was roughly about 220 pounds, 230 pounds, right? Now, a horse, you know, is about 700, 800 pounds, right? So this gentleman started on a bottle, and roughly when it was his turn to speak, he would have drank roughly about 250 to 300 ml. of the chill product, right? And he was good to go. Never had diarrhea or anything like that. So it worked on him at that level. But to address the safety margin, for that same product on a horse, we roughly say anywhere from 60 cc's to 120 cc's before people see the effects.
Yeah.
Okay. So he was drinking like three times the horse dose, no ill effects.
Oh, amazing. And right? Was he relaxed?
He was relaxed. He gave a beautiful speech when it was his turn.
So what we could do technically then, but we won't recommend, is we could give a chill for our crazy mare that needs to relax whilst transporting to the competition. And because we're shaking with nerves, we can have a little sip as well.
I know many a rider does that. I've known many a rider to do that.
It's fascinating. You know? It's fascinating, Gordon, because you've got such a huge range. I'm going to read some of them because there really are... It really is eclectic, from, you know, your chill to your healthy horse, which is your 4-in-1 solution, lung flush, liver flush, immune plus, Hemex. These are all things that, as an uneducated equestrian like myself, I don't know what I'm supposed to be feeding my horse and what I'm not supposed to be feeding my horse. You know, I feel sometimes like all these things are thrown in my face of you should have extra joint stuff, you should have extra breathing supplements. At what point do I say, right, is there normally an age or a certain kind of type of a point that a horse gets to its life, or maybe it's riding a lot or it's working a lot, that then I need to start looking at supplements?
I think a lot of it depends on what you do with your horse, in all fairness. I mean, if you have a farm and all your horse does is stand in a paddock, look pretty, and survey the land, and he wakes up in the morning, that's what he does. He goes to bed at night, that's what he does. Most of the times, you probably do not need to supplement it. However, even those horses, as I made that joke once, I said, oh, backyard horses, they're probably okay, no problem. A lady said to me, you know, even backyard horses have their issues. Mm. And if your horse is an older horse, for example, he's a backyard horse, he's older, he has joint issues, he has arthritic joints, etc. They're in pain, right? Now, if you go to the vet, he would give you a painkiller, like a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory, like a butorbanamine or something like that. Wonderful stuff, short-term use. But if you have an arthritic horse, that is not a short-term use. So the problem with that is that those type of things could cause ulcers with long-term use. Mm. And at that point, you say, okay, which poison do I want to deal with? The arthritic pain or the ulcer pain? So fortunately, we have joint products which have anti-inflammatory herbs, which do not affect the stomach.
Great.
So we've had horses that older horses that practically live on this with no problems. It controls their joint pain, right? To the point where they're very comfortable with it. So we have a number of products there. Now, if you are in competition, right, I know, for example, the racehorse folks, they're always looking for that little competitive edge. So they're looking for something that if you have a bronchodilator that opens up the bronchioles, more oxygen comes in, then they race better. Mm. Okay. So we have products for that. During competition for show ponies, I know one of the things that people want to do is to have their ponies nice and calm, etc. So hence our chill product works really well for that.
Mm.
Okay. So again, depends on what you're doing, right? I think most ponies probably will do well with a vitamin mineral supplement formula. So we have a wonderful product, which we call Minerec, because one of the things that I tell people during competition, your horses, you will use up a lot of vitamin B1s, B2s, B3s, you know, zinc, copper, all those type of things. It'll chew it up because it's working hard. Your normal backyard horse, you probably won't need to supplement them with that. But for your competition horse, it wouldn't hurt to give them that. If you're an athlete in competition at the Olympic level, you will use up a lot more than the guy who, what he does is wake up in the morning, watch TV, falls asleep on the couch, right? And not do much, right? Just depends on what you do with your horse.
Yeah, well, most of mine are backyard horses, Gordon. You know, we're not a competition level. We just like to play. And I just want them to be healthy. That's genuinely, you know, I do have a few that have joint problems. They're on Sinuex and, you know, the baby, like I said, the yearling, he's now on Healthy Horse because he had a bit of a worm issue. So, but you know, my 10-year-old gelding, happy hacker as they were, I just feel like I need the all-round mineral.
The all-round mineral. For your happy hackers, one of the best things you can do for your horse is to use the probiotics.
Oh, really?
And we have a new version of the probiotic that we're selling in Canada. It'll be coming to England soon. It's a brand new version because, unfortunately, what's allowed in England probiotic-wise and what's allowed in Canada are different. Mm. So we have to change our formulas to comply with UK rules. Right, but it's going to be equally effective as far as keeping the tummy happy. Because one of the things with horses, they are very fragile when the GI tract comes to mind. It's been estimated that roughly about 75% of the horses out there have ulcers or have pre-ulcers.
Mm, right, so sad.
And that's in the competition level. Right, the backyard horses probably not as much, but you know the ulcers. I mean, the probiotics will help with things like boosting the immune system. It'll help with things like colic, right? Just having a happy gut makes your horse a lot easier, a lot healthier.
Mm. Oh, well,
because
a lot of
issues come from the gut.
Yeah, of course. And you must have seen an increase in your gastro effects for the gastric ulcers, because I don't know if more horses are getting gastric ulcers or if it's just, I feel it's just becoming at the forefront of people's minds now and it's okay to talk about it. And there seems to be a lot of conversations taking place around gastric ulcers.
Yeah, there is a lot more because I think it's coming more to the forefront because more and more people are recognizing it in their animal. Unfortunately, horses can't speak to you. So a lot of it is guesswork. So unless you have a real high-end competition horse where you set to the vet and then the vet will send a scope down into the stomach to see if there's an ulcer or not, right? Most people just basically try and treat the symptoms, but again, unless they recognize the symptoms, that's when they'll treat the symptoms. Mm. Otherwise, they won't. Well, they just don't know. They'll just say, oh, sometimes the horse is finicky, he's not eating, etc., but they don't know why.
Yes, yeah.
All right? And sometimes if your horse is not eating or he's not keeping weight on, that could be the result of an ulcer. And I say could be because there are other issues too. Right. So, but as a first line of defense, if you help treat the ulcer, you might end up with a horse that's a lot happier.
So the good news, I guess, what you're saying is that we can give these supplements without having to worry that we're going to hurt our horse. So maybe we could try
Definitely.
It, and you know, if it works brilliantly, if it doesn't, then I'm not saying we're going to try it instead of calling the vet. That's not what we want to do. But what I don't understand is why the vets don't, or maybe they are recommending, I don't know, but why don't the vets recommend these supplements as added strength and support?
In all fairness to the vets, they have not been trained on any of these herbal products, right? Most vets, they go through vet school. They teach them the physiology of the animal. They teach them basic biochemistry, basic pharmacology. And the tools of the trade are usually the pharmaceutical drugs, okay? And surgery. So that's the basic tools of the trade. You do have a few more what I call the enlightened vets, like anything else, who will use different modes of treatment for your horses. I think those type of vets are starting to increase in number, but it's like anything else. It takes time for some of these things to get into the consciousness.
Mm, it does. Many of these supplements, both as a human and for my horse, I do worry about allergies. One, because I suffer from allergies myself, and also I have a horse that suffers from allergies. It's almost like I need you to come up with a product for allergies. Do you have those?
We don't really have anything for allergies per se. We do have like things for seasonal allergies. They're for symptomatic relief.
Okay.
All right. There really isn't anything out there that I know of or that's been published in the literature, scientific or medical, that claims to have to be able to treat allergies. Now, there's the kind of allergies that you're talking about. Are you talking about seasonal allergies, or are you talking about food type allergies? I assume you're talking about seasonal type allergies.
But equally, you know, there are food type allergies, which is a whole other subject, I think, that probably is a bit deeper.
Yes.
But I believe that there may be ways of, you know, looking after your gut that maybe could prevent allergies. Because I think my allergies came from hurting my gut when I was much younger, you know.
Yep.
And I think I probably caused a bit of damage, which made me then allergic to food. And I hear that some horses have seasonal allergies, of course, but they also have sweet itch and they have irritation to bites, and maybe there's supplements that we could give them that could help give their immune system a bit of a kick.
I think you're one of your best bet, because for example, seasonal allergies, you're right, if you help the gut. So this is why I say, if even your backyard horse who does nothing, the probiotics works well. Now, one of the things I have to say about probiotics, not all probiotics are the same. Okay, you know, in your gut, there's probably a gazillion different bacteria in the gut. And what makes probiotics work also well is that, I said, everybody calls them good bacteria. And I said, well, there's nothing inherently good about good bacteria. My standing joke is they don't go to church on Sunday. They don't put extra money in the collection plate. Why we call them good bacteria is because the body can deal with their waste products a lot better than they can deal with the waste products of the bad bacteria. Okay, but even good bacteria in huge amounts will produce so much waste products that the body will not be able to deal with it, and sometimes good bacteria can become bad bacteria. So what I like to tell people, you whatever probiotics you people want to use, they should take something that is a wide number of varieties in the bacteria. The types of bacteria, not just one particular type. I know everybody talks about Acidophilus as being a good bacteria, but I say that if I was to go into the body, take out all of the bacteria you have in the gut and just put Acidophilus, you'll be sick, because there's way too much Acidophilus. So what I'm trying to advocate is a balance of the different types of bacteria that you put in there. But the probiotics is one of the best things out there for the treatment of allergies, because one of the things, if the gut is healthy, right, then the response to some of the foods that you so get, you may not get that allergic response, and that in turn will help out things like your immune response. So even so, like your sneezing, etc., will be affected by probiotics.
But it's funny, because as soon as you say you're putting good, even if it's good bacteria, and you're putting bacteria and they're alive into your body, I think it freaks a lot of us. It certainly freaks me out, thinking that I've got a load of bacteria that I'm drinking.
Yeah. But I wouldn't worry about that too much, because, you know, when we are young, we are born germ-free or bacteria-free. But as we live, what happens is you get bacteria from your environment, right? So, and basically the bacteria you get from the environment is what basically colonizes your gut. And that's your first location. And your environment means if some of it comes from mom, right? And the family, etc. So whether you like it or not, you are living in a bacterial soup.
Oh,
right?
No.
And believe it or not, that makes you healthier. That makes you healthier, you know.
Well, I won't have to worry about, you know, clearing the fields anymore of the horse droppings and, you know, seeing or picking up the worms and things. But interestingly, you know, I really do believe in this. It's not, you know, I think over the years it's been known as being a bit hippy-dippy, isn't it, about having, you know, herbal remedies and you know, one with the earth. And now science is proving that to actually be very, very true. And a personal experience that I had last week, funnily enough, is there's been an awful bug going around here, Gordon. You wouldn't want to come over right now, and it's vomiting and it's disgusting and people have been in hospital about it. So I thought, I'm just going to eat lots and lots of broccoli, in the hope that it will fight off this bug. And when I tell you, everybody in my household has had this bug apart from me, and every day I've eaten so much broccoli. So I don't know if it's psychological or I've been really lucky, but does broccoli help?
It certainly doesn't hurt, but I would think if you had the probiotics, it probably would be better for you than the broccoli. Or even things that will boost the immune system.
Okay.
You know, that would probably help. But the thing about the bacteria, et cetera, it's all a balancing act and boosting the immune system. And if your immune system is healthy, right, you can fight off the effects of the bug, whatever bug that's floating around out there. And maybe you are living the healthy life, etc. So your immune system is good, and if your immune system is good, probably that's why you haven't picked up anything
yet.
Well,
touch wood. I'll let you know next week. But ultimately, we want our horses and our pets to be very healthy. So, Gordon, I'm so grateful for you joining us today. Thank you. If you'd like to find out more about Omega Alpha Equine, then just head to their website, omegaalphaequine.co.uk. And I hope that you're going to come and jump on a plane soon and visit all our vets and give them a bit of an education into supplements and maybe do some talks over here. Is that something that you're planning on doing, or can I just only hope?
No, that's in the plans, it's in the works. Just like anything else, unfortunately, my second name is not GlaxoSmith, welcome French. So, you know, there's only so much we can do as a company.
Oh, no, of course. But in the meantime, you host your own podcasts as well, which I think are great. So thank you for that education. You can listen to Gordon Chang on his website, omegaalpha.co.uk, several podcasts on you're discussing the digestive health, probiotics, horse health, veteran horse hydration and winter woes. So when you do get a few free 5 minutes where you're not doing anything, Gordon, a few more of those would be amazing. So thank you so much, and congratulations on the success of the last 20 years, and I hope that we manage to make 20 years in the UK just as successful.
I hope I live long enough for that, and thank you for having me on board.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. As always, you can catch previous episodes of the Horse Hour podcast on our website. Just head to horsehour.co.uk and, of course, Stitcher, Acast, iTunes, Player FM and Spotify. Don't forget, we've got our awesome hacking playlist on Spotify. So if you need a bit of music, just search hashtag Horse Hour and enjoy the ride. I hope you have a great week with your horse and I'll speak to you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.